As the church celebrates this feast, which is one of the few feasts that's celebrated in both the Eastern and the Western Rite at the same time today, and in the scheme of things, this is the day that begins the, what can I call it, like when monastic life, it begins the monastic fast. It begins getting ready now for Easter by celebrating this feast. The way the church presents it to us today, as you can easily see, is through the incident in the book of Numbers, which is fulfilled and made radiant by the act of love in which our Lord died. And between these first and third readings, there is the account of what happened. Jesus Christ, though he was in the form of God, that is, he's in the substance of God, did not require equality with God something to be grasped at or something to be brandished about. Now, Paul is quoting, this is probably an earlier liturgical hymn that Paul is incorporating into his letter to the Philippians, and the point at which he's incorporating this is in his exhortation to unity in the community. Later in the letter, you're going to hear that there were, well, many, but at least there were Evodia and Syntyche, two leading women who were at odds, and Paul is exhorting the community, the elders of the community, to bring about reconciliation, bring this to pass. So, as he's now discussing this, he gives us this example. And you can see that the way to unity in any community, in any parish, in the whole Church of God, is humility and suffering. Because if we gaze into the very heart of the body of Christ, what do we see? We see the heart of Christ there, pierced, aflame with love, sustaining this whole body, saints and sinners alike. And so unity comes through humility and suffering. There is no other way, whether you're talking about a family, talking about it, because it's coming from then, it shares in the act of love, of self-abasement, in which Jesus died. Now, the way the church once proposes this for us is to take this text from Numbers and then show it its fulfillment. The people complained, as usual, and the Lord sent these burning seraph serpents. And as usual, when things go bad because of our sins, they ran to the Lord and said, "Oh, no, please, we'll never do this again," you know. And the Lord, who's infinitely wise, doesn't pay a lot of attention to that. But he's glad they're coming back. And he provides this means of healing, which is to look on the source of the suffering, the serpent, brought about by our sins, and to really understand it. And that's why John is this teaching of Jesus. You see, no one has gone up to heaven. The Son of Man has come down from heaven. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Now, what the church is teaching us today, and you can find this, it's the Jewish tradition that continued to narrate this event, you say, always said, you see, that those who gazed on him, gazed on the serpent, you see, were healed. But the word for, one of the words for heal in Hebrew is to come to life. It's like our revive, but it doesn't register anymore with us. And so, the invitation today is to gaze on Jesus, but not just today. This is the source of all wisdom, all understanding, all virtue, all prayer, is to gaze on Jesus and beg the Holy Spirit to come and open up this mystery for us. And we have like the letter to the Philippians, you know, breaking it open for us. What happens when we try to do this, even if we just sit here and look at this cross? Normally, the first thing that happens is we are aware of our sins, particular sins that the Lord will show us. And he does that because these are the obstacle between us and being healed. And so we gaze on Jesus. Little by little, what happens, the breathtaking wisdom of God becomes apparent. What a way to save the human race, that he himself would come among us, not only teach us, prepare our minds. The whole teaching on the Beatitudes is to prepare our minds to receive the gift of the cross. It will change us, but it's a discipline. It doesn't happen right away. First thing we understand is all those places of darkness in us, of disunity in us, that prevent us from gazing on the cross and experiencing its effect. And that's what the church urges us to do today, this year. It is Friday, so the rosary is the sorrowful mysteries anyway. But there has to be another attitude. I want to die to sin. I really do want to die to sin. I just don't want a lot of exercises of piety. I want to be holy. And that means suffering and humility. There isn't any other way. But if you read today, for instance, in the Magnificat, Angela of Foligno, her son, letter to her son, I think it is, wisdom. To understand the awesome wisdom of God to confront darkness and evil, the work of Satan in this world, begun with Adam, but then, you know, the virus is loose, and we're all vulnerable to deeper and deeper infection. And the healing, you see, is the act of love on the cross of God himself. That's what heals us. Now, it heals us not so much by from the outside, but from the inside. Because we allow that cross to work in us by the power of the Holy Spirit to change us. But it means renouncing where we see darkness. And so the way to come to the experience about which all the saints speak, right? To dwell in the pierced heart of Christ is the absolute summit of wisdom. The absolute summit of wisdom. To be invited there is to be baptized. And the road there is obedience, obedience to Jesus. And so that's why it's not surprising when we gaze on the cross, the first thing we're confronted with is our sin. The Lord is saying, that has to go. We will not be like each other enough for you to understand me if you stay attached to that sin. And that one and that one. And little by little, you know, as it says in the letter to Corinthians, gazing on God, we are transformed by the Holy Spirit from image to image, glory to glory. So it's a day to stop and think and to gaze on this cross and say, Lord, all treasures of wisdom and knowledge are there. Show it to me. Change me enough that I can see it.